morning. My name is Karen. I'm going to read Psalm 84, on which Aaron will be delivering a sermon in a moment. As Chris has mentioned, this is also the text for Samuel Chapel for the year 2024. So you may feel free to open the Chapel Bible to page 595 or simply read from the program card that you have. Psalm 84. For the director of music, according to Gittith of the sons of Korah, a psalm. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, they are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good things does he withhold from those whose way of life is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you.
Shall we sing the song before the sermon? And after the sermon, after the song, I will share the sermon. Yes. Shall we stand?
Oh,
Please be seated. It is good to share the word of God this morning with all the familiar faces. And if you are the first time to meet me, let me introduce myself. My name is Aaron, and I'm one of the elders serving here in Stanmore Chapel. Why do so many people move around the world, move around in the world? Just as our pastor Chris showed us this very useful group here. People might leave one country and move to live in another country, perhaps for a short while or for good. According to the data published by the United Nations in 2020, the numbers of international migrants amounted to 281 million, which is equivalent to 3.6% of the world's population. By migrant, it is mean any person who leaving his or her usual place of residence crosses an international border regardless of the nature and cause of the movement or the duration of the stay. The census therefore covers a wide range of circumstances and includes both war and economic refugees, estimated at more than 82 million, and voluntary migrants, workers, students, retirees, etc. Since the earliest time, humanity has been on the move. Some people move in search of work or economic opportunity, to join family or to study. Others move to escape conflict, persecution, or large-scale human rights violations. In the Old Testament, some historical books recorded the migration of God's people from Canaan to Egypt to escape famine, and back from Egypt into the Promised Land to escape the oppression of Pharaoh. In the past two centuries, migrants from the Far East traveled overseas to the West, to a place called Golden Mountain. Those young men, in their 20 years old, left their homeland in China to a place far, far away to earn their living. Maybe after 5 decades, if they were hardworking enough, lucky enough, and stay alive, they may return to their homeland, China, when they were old. And with a fortune, people call these returnees Golden Mountain Grandpa or Golden Mountain Uncle. Do you know what country is that Golden Mountain located?
America.
Ah, yeah, that most people move to. Yes, America. The specific location is San Francisco. Yeah, and for those growing up from Hong Kong or with the background of Cantonese, they even call San Francisco is the old Golden Mountain because there is a new Golden Mountain in Melbourne. So in order not to confuse both Golden Mountain, so they call San Francisco is the old Golden Mountain and Melbourne is the new Golden Mountain. The United States of America has been the main country of destination for international migrants since the 1970s. Since then, the number of foreign-born people residing in the country has more than 4 times. From less than 12 million in 1970 to close to 51 million in 2019. Here, I would like to introduce my personal history, or precisely my family history. My granddad, also in his 20s, he left behind his family in Guangdong, China, and went to Canada. He is a reliable and hardworking man, and soon he got married again with a widow there in Canada. And he never returned and saw his wife, my grandmother, again in China. My grandmother, with a relatively wealthy background, is relatively, not truly wealthy, but relatively wealthy background, managed to adopt a son from a poorer family. That family with too many children. Because my grandmother, she had only one daughter with my granddad. So she managed to adopt a son. The adopted son, in his 20s, left behind his mother and sister in Guangdong, China, and went to Hong Kong in the 1960s. Although this adopted son grew up without a father, he got married with a young woman in Hong Kong and raised a family with three children. And I am the youngest one among the three children. In my 20s, my journey started. When I came over to the UK to study, I was called by God into ministry during my university. So I returned to Hong Kong for my seminary training and started my ministry. I never ever think about leaving Hong Kong and going to the UK. When I look back, I was surprised by the similarity between myself, my father, and my grandfather. Somehow I followed the footsteps of my father. I left Hong Kong and relocated to this country. The difference is, I have the advantage over my father's generation of coming with my wife and two children. My son Moses and my daughter Marie, they are the fourth generation in our long migration journey from China to the West. From materialism, from atheism to Christianity. We are no longer foreigner and stranger, but fellow citizen with God's people and also members of his household. After all these years, the Ng family arrived here at Stanmore Chapel and our journey keeps going on. As a newspaper headline stated, migration is a fact of life and more people than ever are moving. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, how about your life journey? What is it like? Do you know what path you are on and where are you heading to? Are you confident you can finally arrive at your destination? And what makes you have that feeling? Last but not least, what is the meaning and purpose of it? Psalm 84 is a peaceful psalm for the turbulent world. It is also a restful psalm for the weary soul. Charles Spurgeon said Psalm 84 was entitled to be called the Pearl of Psalms. If Psalm 23rd be the most popular, the 103rd the most joyful, the 119th the most deeply experiential, the 51st the most plaintive, this Psalm 84 is one of the most sweet of Psalms of peace. Let us pray, have a short prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please open our ears, open our heart to listen to your word, and may the Holy Spirit guide us into the truth and empower us to follow and apply the truth in our life, in our daily life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of this psalm is for the director of music, according to Gittib, of the sons of Korah, a psalm. These sons of Korah were Levites. From the family of Korah, by David's time, it seems they served in the musical aspect of the temple worship. Korah led a rebellion of 20-50 community leaders against Moses during the wilderness days of the Exodus, back in number 16. God judged Korah and his leaders, and they all died. But the sons of Korah remained. We first look at verse 1 to 4. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. And shall we read the first four verses together again? How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even sings, for the court of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself. Where she may have her young, a place near you altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Verse 1 to 2 told us how the author of this psalm, how he longing for God and his house. And verses 3 to 4 about the satisfaction in the house of God. What makes a house a home? Homes are a place that memories are made, where you are surrounded by the humbleness of belonging that makes you smile, decorated with personal touches and sentimental items with your personality and style. That makes a house become a home. And where you begin each day and where you rest your head each night. But most importantly, your home is where your heart is and where your loved one come together to share life special moment. In the same way, what makes a building a church? It is a congregation of God's people living out God's word in their life together. We are all travelers on earth, finding a better place or finding the best place to stay. Yet, nobody really likes to stay at the interchange or inside an airport departure hall, no matter how luxurious, how comfortable it is. It is because we all know that it is temporary. We are looking for a permanent place to stay. So, in this psalm, in the first four verses, it told us we are all living in a temporary place, but looking for a place which is permanent, permanently we can stay. And That permanent place we are hoping to stay is where God is. It's the place where God is. And in verse 3 to 4, it mentioned about the sparrow and the swallow that had made a nest living at the house of God in view of the altar itself. He considered those birds are blessed living at the tabernacle. A sparrow is an example of bird of small significance. And the swallow is a picture of restlessness, very busy. But even the sparrow and the swallow, they all can find a place for the insignificant. Likewise, the insignificant can find his place in the house of God, and the restless man can find his rest there, near God's altar. The second part of the psalm, verse 5 to 8. Shall we read all together? Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appear God's Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Stop here from verse 8. Yeah. Verses 5 to 7 mention about the strength for the one away from the house of God. The man who finds his strength in God is also the one whose heart is set on pilgrimage. He does not rely on self or the world for strength, but consider himself a visitor, a traveler, a pilgrim in this world. His true strength and treasure are in the world to come. This strength and heart of a pilgrim are displayed by the love for the house of God. There he meets with God, along with other pilgrims, and they gain strength in God together as they meet. The heart for God's house provided wisdom and strength for the life lifted away from God's house. A difficult place, such as the valley of Baca, was transformed into a spring, complete with rain and pools of water. On a normal journey, especially a difficult one, the usual pattern is go from strength to weakness or affected for a normal journey. But here, not so with those whose strength is in God. They go from strength to strength. It is amazing. It is like when our mobile phone is fully charged in the morning, and then we unpack it, and you bring it with you to go to work or go to school. The battery is still 100% at lunchtime. And even when you finish your work or finish your school and go home in the evening, it still has 100% battery. The battery does not go from 100% to zero. This magic mobile phone has inexhaustible power. It is the same to those mentioned in verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. The journey has its destination, is Zion, the city of God. Also quote from Spurgeon. Spurgeon said, "Not merely to be in the assembly, but to appear before God was the object of each devout Israelite. Unless we realize the presence of God, we have done nothing. The mere gathering together is nothing worth." So our destination in our whole life, are we trying to get closer to God? Or are we trying to live a life which can manifest more the characteristic of God? We have the pilgrim's prayer at verse 8. "Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob." Do we have the same energy level, same destination, and same prayer? Here we come to the third part, verse 9 to 12. Let us read together. "Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk in blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you." This is, in this part, it mentioned about a place with the true God versus a place with just human idol. In verses 9 to 12, we may see the surpassing greatness of God in and his house. The psalmist began with love and longing for the house of God, and now he returns to the fort. Time spent at God's house was better than and more valuable than time spent elsewhere. "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God." This was another expression of the psalmist's love and longing regarding the house of God. Living a luxurious life in the fancy tents of the wickedness means nothing to him. He would rather humbly serve in God's house. Spurgeon said, "To bear burdens and open doors for the Lord is more honor than to ring among the wicked. Every man has his choice, and this is ours. God's worst is better than the devil's best." A promise is made to those who walk uprightly. They will receive every good thing God has for them. The nature of this promise is appropriate under the old covenant, where God promised direct blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. Under the new covenant, the believer receives God's good things on the basis of Jesus' goodness, and then goes on to walk uprightly. However, if you do not have the trust in God in the journey of life, would it be an easier journey? Trusting in God is not easy. Our human instinct always pushes us to doubt. The trust of our fellow believers cannot help you to go through the journey. The faith and the trust must be comes from your own. The faith of your parent can only give you an example for you to follow. You need to have your personal faith in Jesus under the guidance of God and the reminder from the Bible through the Holy Spirit to help you explore and keep going in your own life journey. Come to the conclusion, the Psalm 84 set us very important destination. It teaches us to set the right destination for our life. If we set the wrong destination, we cannot go to the right place. And the second point is we have to during the path, the destination, the first thing is the destination must be correct, and the second thing is during the journey, you go on the right path, and even the path of the journey is difficult, God will empower you to overcome all the difficulties. And the third part, it reminds us again to have that trust in God's plan. Because if we have the right destination, if we going on the right path with the strength, but if we lost the trust, then we hesitate and we may go astray in our journey. So we must keep on our trust in the Lord to help us to finally arrive the destination. In a moment, we will sing the last hymn today. But before that, let us pray, and then we will sing the last hymn. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Psalm 84. It showed us the way of a pilgrimage. How should we spend our life journey on earth? Lord, help us in this coming new year of 2024. Help us to set our eyes focused on you and set the right destination for our life journey. Lord, we are thankful that because our strength in this journey is not come from our own, it is come from you. So, Lord, help us to continue to have this trust in you so that we can go on the journey together. We can encourage and help each other so that everyone here, we may be experience a abundant life journey in the coming year with your grace and with your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing the hymn, All the Way My Savior Leads Me.